Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for the Nonprofit Snapcast. Today, I'm talking to Alejandro Morales. Alejandro, how are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm happy to be here.
Great. You and I connected via the interest form. You had said that you could talk about volunteering, particularly engaging younger volunteers. But first, I want to hear about this enterprise that you've been working on called Warm Ears, Warm Hearts. Can you tell us about that?
I'd love to. This is now my fourth year in running a 501c3 nonprofit by the name of Warm Ears, Warm Hearts. Now, back when I was 15 years old, as a high school freshman, I was blessed with the opportunity to go on a college trip to the Northeast. You know, as a Miami native, I really wasn't used to seeing cold temperature. The coldest I've ever seen before is like 65 degrees. And being exposed to the Northeast in the winter, bundled up in like three layers of winter clothing that my mom had packed for me like a week in advance, I was really blessed. But I also saw that around me, there were a lot of natives, residents of the Northeast, who don't have the proper winter clothing to protect themselves from the elements. And down here in South Florida, if the temperature gets to like 65 degrees, you see people busting out two different hoodies and undershirts that goes back into their closet the next day for a full 2 years. So I saw a need in the Northeast, and I also saw a surplus of resources down here in South Florida. So with the help of some of my friends, I was able to host a winter clothes collection in the winter of 2016. And since then, you know, the rest is history. Our organization has grown leaps and bounds every year. We're collecting in multiple high schools down here in South Florida. We've connected with various homeless shelters in the Bronx, New York, where we send our clothing. And we're expanding this year to include homeless shelters in other states as well, such as Illinois, specifically the city of Chicago. So I'm really happy to be able to be on your podcast today, Mickey. You know, share a little bit about my story and about how I feel like all of this was only possible with the amazing group of volunteers, specifically teenage volunteers that I'd surrounded myself with.
It sounds like amazing work, and I have a number of questions, but I had to laugh when you said 60 degrees. I went to school in Central Florida, and it was exactly the same. The temperature dropped below 60, and everyone was convinced it was freezing.
I went over to a high school that has a uniform policy, right? But anytime like the temperature would go below 70 degrees, suddenly you're allowed to wear non-regulation sweatshirts and hoodies because, oh, this is a special circumstances.
That's funny. Okay. So how did you, I mean, I get how you came up with the idea, but how did you go through the logistics of, first of all, building the entity? Did you have to do any legal work around it, or did you just informally start calling schools to say, hey, I'm making these collections in order to send stuff up north?
Yeah. So my first collection was back in the winter of 2016. And after having a successful collection at my high school, where we collected about 50 pounds of winter clothing to send to a public school in the Bronx, I realized that I didn't want this to just be a one-and-done project. So over the summer entering my sophomore year, so summer 2017, I went through research, figuring out what would be the process of setting this up as an organization. So I saw the main thing that I needed to get it off the ground was to register as a business, as a nonprofit in the state of Florida, which is about $100 or so. The amount escapes me exactly. So I set up a GoFundMe. And I reached out to all my friends who helped me out, all my teachers, along with other people who I met through my connections. And we were able to raise about $1,000 and something in our first fundraising when we weren't even an organization. So it was really impactful to me to just see how people are already embracing our mission. So we registered as a nonprofit corporation summer 2017 and already holding the status as an organization. That made it a lot easier and it made me feeling a lot more confident to reach out to teenage volunteers in different schools saying, you know, we're a legitimate organization and I would love for you to contribute. And it also helped out when we were doing fundraising events to reach out to companies to sponsor these big events. In February 2019, I believe, we had applied for the IRS 501c3 status to be tax deductible because I saw that, you know, we had a decent amount of revenue coming in. And I knew that we could go through that lengthy application process and pay the high fees that they asked for. And what was nice about the 501c3 status is it applies retroactively if your organization is young enough. So I'm happy to, you know, see that, you know, founder and president of a 501c3 does have a really nice ring to it, but I'm just happy that I'm able to use that title all entirely for good. That now as a 501c3, I'm able to offer teenage volunteers a lot more benefits for helping out an organization, which I'm sure we're going to be able to touch up upon later on in this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right. When all cylinders are firing as they should be, it definitely is a good feeling. Let's talk about how you utilize the teenage demographic. You know, there is sort of a stereotype that says teens don't like to volunteer, or maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's not a fair thing to say, but you have a lot of teens involved with you. How do you reach them? How do you use them?
Exactly. So, my advice towards organizations looking towards reaching out to what I believe is the untapped demographic of teenagers is you'd be shocked how many high schools are looking for partnerships with nonprofit organizations. So one way of approaching it is through the high schools. Pretty much every single person has gone to a high school. Calling your alma mater would definitely make a difference, saying, hey, you know, I'm working in the nonprofit industry. I'm looking for a few volunteers. Here are the programs that we're doing. Here's how we think we could help. Or even just reaching out to local high schools in the area. However, something that I say has been really effective has actually been direct matchmaking with teenage volunteers on sites such as Volunteer Match. I've put up a couple of listings for our ambassador program, which is that's the program that we have for our winter clothes collection, that by collecting clothing at your school and then sending it towards our central department that takes care of the sorting and the distributing, you're acting as an ambassador of our organization. And I'm shocked because I've put up the listing on Volunteer Match and other sites like it that were looking for ambassadors in both high schools and local businesses alike. But the responses I've been getting have been almost entirely high school students looking to engage in the community. You know, you look at it from the point of view of teenagers, as I still am one. I like to consider being 18 years old going off to college this year.
Right. My goodness. But,
yeah, man. But, you know, looking at it from the point of view of teenagers, obviously a good amount of teenagers want to give back to the community, especially in times such as these surrounding us. And even a little bit before that, where there's so much going on in our society, being able to give a positive impact really means a lot. But looking at it a little bit from the selfish aspect, as someone who's just been through the college application process, it gets more and more competitive every single year, trying to apply it. Even schools that seemed to be less competitive in the past are becoming more and more competitive every single year. So teens are looking out for a way to differentiate themselves from the rest of the applicants. So having a volunteer position of a major organization, or not even a major organization, but just a nonprofit organization engaged in the community, really does make a difference. A lot of these schools also have volunteer hour requirements that you have to volunteer at least 100 hours before being able to graduate. Now, some students like just randomly signing up for an activity here and there, but a lot of my classmates have just instead found one organization and they've really stuck through it and they really wanted to make a difference through there. It also helps teenagers, you know, gauge their interest in whether they actually want to pursue a career in the nonprofit sector, or maybe do a hybrid where they're working a job in the private sector while still contributing to a nonprofit on the side. So I feel like, you know, there's a lot of ways to reach out to teenagers that aren't really being explored to their full potential, especially when there's so much of a desire from the teenagers to contribute to these organizations.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it. So Volunteer Match, and what else did you mention some other tools, I think? Volunteer Match, and what were the other ones?
Yeah. So we used Volunteer Match. Word of mouth has been fantastic. When mm-hmm. we already have an ambassador at, say, Our Lady of Lourdes Academy, which is a school down here in Miami, who has a friend who goes to Monsignor Edward Pace High School, who's also interested in doing it, would be shocked of how well word of mouth works. So for us, it's been Volunteer Match, word of mouth, Instagram promotion has been going along pretty great as well, making a nice little ambassador video. We had our head content producer put together a video of some of our ambassadors at all these high schools saying, hey, I've been an ambassador for a year. I've loved it so much. This is what I've done. This is what I've learned from it. And I know you're going to love it as well. You know, being able to produce those resources specifically geared towards the teenage audience. And it's about creating a welcoming environment, about the fact that we are actively looking for teenage volunteers. We're looking for the newer way to provide a unique perspective on ideas, but of all, be able to contribute.
Right. I'm also a little shocked that the teenagers in your part of the world have stepped forward in ways that the business community hasn't. Can you speculate a little bit more about that? Why do you think that you're not seeing the adult business people?
Well, I feel like, you know, nonprofits have, you know, the great opportunity that it's not looking at, oh, how much experience does this volunteer bring, but instead of how this volunteer seems really passionate. The number one thing I've been looking for in all these teenagers that sign up for organization is how passionate they are. That's why our application process to be an ambassador is actually quite simple. When they apply to be an ambassador, I just ask them two very, very simple questions. One second, I actually have it right here. The first question is just, why are you interested in volunteering for Women's Home Health specifically? And if you could suggest one thing or implement one new idea in our organization, what would it be? And you'd be shocked of how in-depth answers I've gotten from that before. Someone who didn't care at all wouldn't respond to those questions. They would immediately be thrown off by that with the first hurdle. But I feel like when someone's, you know, passionate and driven to giving back to the community, that shines through and means a lot more than whatever experience they have, whatever monetary value they could provide to the organization.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I mean, I think the questions are both genius. And I think it's remarkable that you do get in-depth responses out of teenagers that way. I think that is, I think that says a lot about you and the way you run the organization as well.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
But the last notes, you know, the last item on our notes here was, would you say that having teenage volunteers has actually been more beneficial for the organization and for the teenager on the whole?
This has been an extremely beneficial mutual relationship. I already touched up a little bit on the teenage aspect about how it's great for them that they get to put it on their college apps, fulfill their volunteer requirements of 100 hours, engage their interest, whether they want to pursue a career in the nonprofit sector, along with the given benefit of they get to give back to the community while doing something they enjoy. Now, as for the organization, I feel that teenagers that personally reach out to volunteer already demonstrates a level of passion for that specific project. I feel that many times nonprofits accidentally discriminate based on age, thinking, oh, you know, he's just a high schooler. You know, there's no way he can contribute to this organization. And if anything, that's entirely false from the truth. A second point to add on, which may sound a little bit selfish sounding and stingy, is, as I said, you know, these teenagers need volunteer hours. They're looking to give to the organization any way possible. So when there's that free labor and they actually want to positively contribute, work hours and feel good about it, who am I to decline them some nice hours?
Right. Well, you've got the win-win happening, and especially I think if you give your volunteers an option to express some opinions about the ways that the organization can improve or the way operations can go more smoothly, I think that's a genius way to get them closer in and let them be more of a you know, something other than just a cog in a wheel, you know,
100%.
Yeah.
Cog in a machine, 100%. You know, they get to provide an outsider perspective that I believe that, no offense, some middle-aged person who's already been on a nonprofit board like 6 times, it's 2 entirely different perspectives altogether.
That's very true. Do you include any of these teenage folks on your board?
Yes, actually. Right now, our board of directors is composed of 5 people, including myself. And of the 5, 4 of us are going off to be first-year college students this year, and one of them is going to be a rising junior. So kind of keeping in touch with the fact that I founded this organization at age 15, this organization is almost entirely ran by young people. It's either high school students, and now including a new wave of college students, as me and my classmates are graduating, but we're still looking on keeping that high school demographic fully intact. And now that, you know, we're more of a legitimate organization and we're expanding more every year, being able to invite adults to assist us as well. Recently, right now, during this COVID-19 pandemic,
I actually got in touch with an alumnus from my high school who's currently working as in a hospital down here at Baptist Health South Florida. And we were actually able to coordinate a project together about raising funds, which was then used to buy personal protective equipment, such as masks and gowns and shoe covers and all of the necessities that that hospital was specifically requesting. And last week, I was able to drop off the goods with him. We had raised about $300 or so, which is for our organization, which is relatively small, banking in about $2,000 in our best year. Raising $300 in about 2 weeks was really nice for us. It was good to see the community really embracing us as we respond to COVID-19. And with that, we're also doubling down in our efforts that every year we hold an annual video game tournament, you know, keeping more in touch with the high school demographic. But we're actually hosting an online tournament the following month to raise funds for COVID-19 relief as well. So we're expecting that to go off pretty well as well. We're looking for corporate sponsors. So for anyone listening, if you're interested in helping out, you can just go onto our website. I'm sure we can plug it in at some point. The sponsorship package is super cheap, starting at like $75.
wait, $75? That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, deals that can't be beat. You know, that's what I say when I reach out to these local businesses to help. I'm like, well, right now, because you know, we're being very sensitive from how businesses are struggling this year with profits, but so are we. Our cheapest thing, $75. I'm sure you can open up and help out.
That's right. Well, way to go. And so please do plug your website. If a listener wanted to check out your organization, Warm Ears, Warm Hearts, or to possibly even drop you a note, how would you suggest they go about getting in touch with you?
The easiest way would either be through our website, which is just our organization's name, warmearswarmhearts.org, or our Instagram account at warmearswarmhearts.
Thank you. Thank you, Alejandro. Where are you going to college this fall?
I'm going to be attending the University of Chicago.
No kidding. That's a long haul from Miami.
Yeah, I could have used something actually really interesting with that was I was getting interviewed for some service award down here in Miami-Dade. And one of the questions they were asking me was, you know, now that I'm graduating high school, what am I going to do with my project? How am I going to ensure that it outlives me? So, you know, going off to Chicago, I could use that as an opportunity to just pack my bags and close down the organization. But instead, I'm using that as an opportunity to usher in the new wave of high school students to take care of a lot of the collection down here in South Florida. And now being up in Chicago, which is a city that has so much need, I'm going to be able to be, you know, boots on the ground, personally reaching out to homeless shelters in person, being able to expand our operations. So turning what could have possibly been a detrimental thing for our organization to a great plus that now we get to reach out to a whole new community.
That's amazing. No, Chicago's lucky to get you, and I can't thank you enough for making the time to do this recording with me today. Hopefully we can check in again in the future and do an update and see how things are going for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm really grateful that you had me on the podcast today. You know, I'm an avid listener. I love the stuff that you do, and I'm grateful. This is a little bit of a dream of mine, I won't lie.
Alejandro, thank you for joining me, man. This has been a good conversation. I will certainly look forward to the next time.
All right. Till then, thank you for everything.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite you to be a part of these conversations. If you have an idea for the program or would like to be a guest on a future episode, please drop us a line via our website, nonprofitsnapcast.org. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.